Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Hammers, nails, interest rates.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Federal Reserve has gone pretty deep into its toolbox to keep the economy from falling apart. Today, the Fed will almost certainly announce another cut in its key interest rate. The Fed funds rate now stands at just 3%. The Fed wants to get banks lending again and calm the stock markets. Here's what's been happening overseas. Mostly small gains in Asia, although Japan's Nikkei did add 1.5%. European shares are also up 1.5%. The Dow stands at 11,972. It actually gained 21 points yesterday after a wild session, but the NASDAQ dropped 35 and the S&P 500 fell 11 points. One major concern about the Fed cutting interest rates is the dollar. As rates get lower, so does the dollar's value. Let's check in with our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, how's the dollar doing today so far?
The dollar is still under a lot of pressure. It's fallen this morning against both the yen and the euro. This on the expectation that the Fed will cut their key Fed funds interest rate by as much as 1%. Now, that may or may not help ease the credit crunch, but the one thing it definitely will do, it will make the dollar a less attractive currency to hold. And the US currency, of course, is still the world's major reserve currency.
What do European investors think about a 1% cut in the Fed's rate?
Well, they hope that it works. But of course, this interest rate is the official rate at which the banks lend money to each other overnight. But the actual rate at which they're doing so is higher because the banks remain very, very nervous about lending to each other. So there's a lot of hope, but also a lot of pessimism that even a cut of 1% won't solve the credit crisis.
I also saw that the dollar was actually gaining ground against the pound?
That's right. Investors fear that the UK has followed the American economic model so assiduously over recent years, and so the fear is that a big British investment bank could suffer the same fate as Bear Stearns.
I hope not. All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
But that is the big question. Is another bank about to fail? Today, Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs report their earnings for last quarter. Investors seem to be a little worried about Lehman. Its stock fell 19% yesterday. Alisa Roth has more on what to expect from these profit reports.
Like many Wall Streeters, Al Goldman thinks the banking sector is going to be just fine over the long run. Thank you very much. He's a market strategist for AG Edwards. And he seems to think only an idiot or a reporter would ask about the short-term prospects.
Almost all earnings reports from the financial sector, and particularly the banks, are going to be lousy. And everybody with a pulse knows that.
He and others guess nobody's going to escape completely. Peter Dunay is an analyst with Meridian Equity Partners in New York. He says larger outfits like Goldman Sachs will probably have an easier time of it.
The smaller ones, as you're seeing in Bear Stearns, you know, are more likely not to survive. And that adds just more and more pressure to the overall sector on how bad the write-downs are and who's going to take down with it.
Lehman Brothers may fit into that latter category. It's already suffering from the market chatter, made worse by rumors of an email from a big Asian bank telling staff not to trade with Lehman. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. By Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com.
I'm guessing Wall Streeters have had a few sleepless nights lately. Maybe they should look up a man named Nicholas Ronco. He's got a new business in Manhattan that sells naps. From our entrepreneurship desk, Jamie Bedrin reports.
The idea came to Nicholas Ronco during a rocky business trip to Asia. By week's end, he was willing to try anything to help him relax and fall asleep, including a visit to a place hawking what he thought might be some type of alternative medicine.
I saw, you know, office people, managerial kind of people going back and forth between these places and the office, the same way we go back and forth between Starbucks and the office in the U.S.
A quick glance through a window revealed the stores were selling the opposite of a jolt of caffeine. Ranko saw a row of reclining chairs, all occupied by people napping. Ranko started to see the Japanese napping everywhere, even in meetings. He realized Japan's corporate culture not only accepted, but encouraged midday breaks. And that sounded to him like an idea worth importing. He started with the color yellow. Ranko thinks it's so calming that he named his business after it. Step into yellow in Midtown Manhattan, pay $12, and you get 20 minutes inside a private soundproofed room, or cabin as Ranko calls it. Wrap up in a cashmere blanket, breathe the purified air, and listen to whale cries.
The size of the cabin is 78 square feet. The shape of the cabin here is like a cocoon. It's like a honeycomb.
The light in the cabin has a purple glow. It feels like the inside of an airplane. There's no tipping because that's way too stressful. Ranko says he'd like to see naps as part of the daily routine in America, just like they are in Japan. But Mitchell Langbert, a professor of business administration with Brooklyn College, says that's highly unlikely.
I think our culture is so geared towards the type A personality, towards hyperactivity and excessive competition, that napping is not something that'll catch on in our competitive economy.
But New Yorkers seem to embrace the idea. Ranko has already signed up Time Warner and the Alvin Ailey Dance Company for corporate memberships. In New York, I'm Jamie Bedrin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.